Let's pray and then we'll sing. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for Bethel, for each soul that's here. Please, Lord, be with us as we spend this time in your house and around your words, lifting up your praises, giving our tithes and offerings, our fellowship, our prayers, and, Lord, the reading of your word. Please bless them all to us this evening. We do miss Ling and Frank and Charlotte, and we miss Pat and Steve as well. And Lord, we just pray that your good hand would be upon these souls, that you would look after and protect and provision. Love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for all that you've done for us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Lucky dip doesn't sound like a particularly Christian thing to be singing about, but did someone call for 17? Or was it 16?
20.
That was me then. Hymn number 16. In the black book. Hymn number 16. In the black book. He lifted me.
Thank you. Turn tonight to 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 8. 1 Samuel 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges of Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgments. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and took Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Then make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. The Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even of this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, how great gift solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people, and asked from a king. He says, This shall be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons, and appoint them for himself for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he'll appoint them captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth for your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of the king which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. Amen.
Thanks, man. Good verses in there. Just one that really jumped out. Verse number 20, where the people cried to Samuel, We want to be like all the nations, all the other nations. And that is ever the downfall of God's people, when we want to be like everybody else. Amen. Just want to remind everybody, make sure you have one of those. People need and pray on it. Most of all, Norman and myself, as we work in the church, we appreciate your prayers. They've kept us alive, and we've still got all our fingers and all of our limbs, and thankful for it. So we are able to start in here. One wee word of prayer request for me. Whenever the service is over, keep Norman busy, because when he sits too long by himself, he finds other jobs to do. Just keep talking to him, keep distracting him, until I give you the signal, it's time to go.
I will leave immediately after this.
Amen. There's lots going on in the world. Please do pray for our country, for America, for China, Russia, Ukraine. Goodness, Canada, just the whole world, and every country across the world. I think the COVID, so-called COVID crisis, really showed the world us what all of the world leaders are really like. They all need to be prayed for, and they all need to be saved. So just keep praying. The Lord will convict them, and who knows? Maybe one or two or three or four will get saved. Before it's everlasting too late. Even the Pharisees, the worst of Christ's enemies, a few of them did get right with God before the end of their days. So, amen. Please do pray about that. Each other, our absent brethren, after we get the, after we get the cage built, that God will send a few birds to put on it. I'm talking about Bethel. So, please do pray about that as well. I think that's it. Anything you can think of, Colin? Colin's got a job interview on Wednesday, so don't forget to mention that. Norman, can you think of anything else? No? Just a private prayer request? Mm-hmm. What's that? Is that Wednesday the 30th or 31st? Or
30th.
Okay, there you go. Unless there's anything else, nope. Grand job. Let's pray and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, just thank you again that we can come before you. You know our real needs this evening, Lord. Pray for our private prayer requests. I pray, Lord, and thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, for your word, for this little bit of peace and quiet we have apart from the word. Please, Lord, work in our hearts and minds. I know sometimes, Lord, when we come to church, our hearts and our minds are hard and unyielding. But I know, Lord, that just being just like those hard peas that have to sit and soak in the water for a day or two, just sitting and soaking in your presence and in your praises and in your word can work a miracle. Please work miracles in our hearts tonight. Please lift us and embolden us, cheer us, make us bolder and wiser. Strengthen us and comfort us at this time. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your great sacrifice for us, Lord. And please bless this time in your presence. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please be with Pat and Steve, Link and Frank, Charlotte this evening. And Lord, please broaden our borders. Please look out for those that have slipped and slid. Please teach them and guide them, Lord, and draw them back to the sound of the gospel. Lord, we love you and thank you. Amen. Right. Big hymn books this time. I think we were singing hymn number, was it 75 on Jordan's Stormy Banks? There it is. Hymn number 75 in the big books on Jordan's Stormy Banks.
Yeah.
same book. This might be a little bit on the new side to some of you, but persevere with it. 111 is Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. I'm actually going to put my glasses on to sing this one to make sure I get all the words. Amen. Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. Were the words "follow me," and how often he actually gave that challenge, if that's the right word, to the men that he called to be his apostles and his disciples. So we're beginning in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read from verse number 18, just a handful of verses to verse number 22. And the word of God says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers," "and he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Amen. That is our Bible reading. There's one other instance in Matthew chapter 9 that records Jesus in his travels. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. That's in Matthew chapter 9. And that there's not really many other of the disciples, the instances where they are called and challenged by Jesus to follow him. But those five men, their callings, if you like, are repeated a few times in the Gospels. Yeah. That's a word of prayer. Well, would you pray for us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord. And pray for our families, and pray for all our relatives, Lord. Save them also, Lord. Pray for the churches throughout the world, Lord. the ministers and pastors, advisors of preaching the full content of the word through the Bible, Lord. They might contend, the ministers and people might contend for all people's souls, Lord. And point to the full cross to be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to have their soul saved for all eternity, Lord. Save people, Lord, throughout the world, Lord. And with the service that are starting out is a moment in time, Lord, our finished, Lord. Pray for our land, Lord, and help us as we go to a new election, Lord, that you might save souls, save the assembly men and women, Lord, and bring them to fulfill the cross, that they might bring godly laws and godly instructions to people, Lord, and stop abortion, stop the laws, Lord, and save souls mightily and powerfully by the blood of the Lamb. Mark tonight as we come to deliver the gospel, Lord. Give us touch the Spirit, Lord, and prepare our hearts that we may receive it readily, Lord, and use it in our lives, Lord. Give us a good, beautiful action, Bravo, as well, Lord. Give the sick as well, Lord. Give Pat and Steve, Lord. And give anybody sick, give Charlotte as well, if she's over there again, Lord. Love her and keep her as well. Give Frank and I, Lord, love the mentor. Give him general mercies, especially for Frank, Lord, as he's on holiday, Lord, and keep him safe and well, Lord. And give us some kids for Jesus Christ, again,
amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. This is, as I've already mentioned, the beginning of the Lord's ministry. And although it does seem fairly straightforward whenever the Lord was walking along and he comes across these four men working in their dad's boats, and he just says to them, follow me. And they up sticks and follow Jesus Christ. That just seems absolutely weird. Thing about it is, and what many times we don't consider as we read these stories, is there was a lot of stuff going on in the background. There had to be, because the Lord didn't call just anybody to follow him. Generally speaking, it was men that whose hearts were already inclined to God, or in Judas's case, I do believe he was making a point and giving an example that it's not down to God whether a person follows God, it's down to the person. We all know the sad case of Judas Iscariot. He said one of the prophecies about the disciples were that none had he lost save the son of perdition, which is Judas, and we all know how he betrayed the Lord and then went and hanged himself. But all of these other men must have had in their hearts a grounding in the Jewish faith, maybe even an understanding of biblical prophecy as it not appealed to but applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and they believed it. They had hearts that were inclined to God. They turned up at synagogue every Saturday. Their moms and dads raised them up in good, faithful homes and probably gave them sound examples. So that when this man came along, who knows that we know what Nathanael was, whenever he was sitting under the tree and his brother Philip came and told him that they'd found the Messiah. And he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the Lord said, behold, a man in whom there is no guile, and He said, how do you know me? He says, I saw you sitting under the fig tree before you came here. And obviously to him that was completely and utterly impossible. Something only God could do. And he bowed the knee to God there and then. I am sure whatever it was that was said to these men whose whole lives were involved in fishing, maintaining the nets and the boats, everything, every single thing involved in making their lives easier and making their lives possible and ensuring that no fish that they caught slipped through the nets, all of that stuff would have been going through their heads. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Maybe even as they worked in their nets, the Lord was speaking to them in old scripture verses about catching souls and delivering them to the foot of the cross. Or I'll give you an example of whenever we were working out there and just watching Norman as he worked putting the water pipes in through the walls. I'd done electricity before. I'd never done water pipes through walls. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies even now. But the amount of work, the amount of covering up the work and delivering water from a hole in the ground to a tap that you can walk into in a dry and a heated place is phenomenal. And we are, I'm sure, not blissfully, but blindly ignorant of all of the things that the Lord has done for us and speaks to us about and delivers us from day by day, even as we go. All of the work that he did for us on the cross of Calvary, we will never know the fullest extent of it. In the same way that most people just walk into a bathroom and turn the tap and never know the work involved in ducting that water and sealing the pipes and this, that and the other and covering it with plasterboard. All they see is a wee metal thing on a ceramic basin that when you turn the tap, the water comes out. And many times that's all that we see. We see the church and we see the singing and we see people sitting in seats. But we don't see what's going on behind the scenes. We don't see the Lord's hand in our lives guiding and directing us. Sometimes we don't even see our rebelliousness. We don't understand it, but these things are there and the Lord is equal to every single one of them. But the Lord spoke to them in terms that they knew, that they understood. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They heard in a way that spoke to them, a way that answered prayers to them. And the first thing they did, they just upped sticks and away. They forsook their nets, they forsook their fathers, they forsook their work, and they followed Jesus. For real. When he appeared in the flesh, they accepted him readily. And that has always been the case of the common man receiving the word of God gladly. The common man received them gladly. Now, the thing about it is that this is not just for the apostles. This wasn't just a call to, I'm not going to embarrass myself by missing out on some of the apostles' names. This was not just a call to the 12 followers of Jesus Christ, those particular apostles. This is not just for pastors or church leaders. It's not a special call to follow Jesus Christ. It's a general call to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, it says, just a little bit further on in Matthew 22, it says that many are called, but few are chosen. And I want to put that into perspective for you. It says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. That's the many. Even those many are called. But straight is the way and narrow. Straight is the road, straight is the gate, and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few there are that find it. That is the few. Everybody's called. The Lord wants everybody to be saved. But the final decision is up to us, and sadly, only a few will ever accept. The Lord said in Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, and this is a general call, this is the general call. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and Follow me. It says, for whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. One of the other instances, it says, if you don't hate your life, you're not worthy to follow God. In other words, you must be prepared to put God first and hate your life that much. Let me put it another way, that the love you have for the Lord should outshine the love you have for your own skin and your own pleasures and your own leisure. And you should be able to put God first. And that means, just plainly and simply, if you work really, really hard to find your, in quotes, your purpose in this world, to accrue a fortune and lands and houses, and you spend all of your time doing that, there'll come a day when your life is over, you'll have to leave that behind. It's all gone. You'll lose it. However, if you forsake the pursuit of earthly belongings to follow God, you will lose nothing. Whenever you step off into eternity, in fact, God says, you will inherit the earth, the meek shall inherit the earth, the Bible says. We'll be coming back to rule and to reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. Anyway, the thing about all of this is, and the thing about following God, is that a lot of people think, oh, that means I'll never get any time to myself. I'll never get to have a hobby or just live a life. It's always about me, and I'm going to have to be given up, and I'm going to have to be passing by all of those things that I want to do. The first question you should ask yourself is, if you still have a hankering to be out drinking and chasing wee girls and cursing and swearing and feel no conviction about it, no conviction about bad behavior and old habits, I will have to ask the question, are you even saved? And you should really ask yourself that question. You should be making sure that you're saved. It's not all about living like a hermit in a monastery and getting up and singing those old Georgian chants in the morning and morning matinee prayers before lunch and eating a very light lunch because you're only going to be singing more and studying more and doing that day in and day out. There's people to be seen, there's jobs to be done, there's families to be tended to, and I don't know about you, but bills don't pay themselves. There's money to be made. You have to pay your way. It's not all one-sided. The Word of God says in John 12, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. In other words, God will be on your side. And God will be there to help you and to minister to you. Now, as we've already seen, everybody's asked, would you like to get saved? Everybody's convicted about their sins. Some people will take and face it. Some people will do their best to drown out the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Some people will just reject it out of hand. Now, if I follow you, they'll say, a man said to me, if I get saved, I'll not be able to drink anymore. And that man, for all I know, that 15 or 20 years ago, that man's dead now. Dead and in hell, because he loved to drink more than he loved the thought of living for God. And that's a sad thing. But I got to thinking about the rich young ruler. Does anyone remember the rich young ruler? And it talks about the Lord. This is in Mark. It says, when he was gone forth into the way, that's Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And I'm sure you pretty much know this. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, don't kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, and honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto them, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding them, loved them, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and what? Follow me. He was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions, and what it doesn't say there is that he loved the security and the power and the ease and the leisure that his great possessions gave him. And he loved that more than the thought of being a servant to the King of Kings. There's many examples of that in the world. Oh, I can't possibly serve the Lord. I can't possibly follow you, it says in Luke 9 when the Lord said. He said, I have to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go first and bid them farewell that are at home at my house. And Jesus said, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you are forever looking back in the world and mourning the things that you may, that you will have to leave behind, not because they're necessarily bad, but because Jesus has something far, far better in store for you. The Bible says all you're going to be doing is you might be saying the right words, but your heart will be set on old habits and old things. We need to know that the Lord doesn't just expect us to follow him into eternity. It's not just about eternity. Having your soul saved, having Christ as the foundation for your life, is only the start of your life. Taking Christ then, and we mentioned it this morning, as the cornerstone to your life, taking his plan for your life, and not just having an eternal life and doing whatever you want, but having an eternal life and then taking this temporal life, these years that we have before we meet him face to face, and living in his way, well, that's following Jesus as well. And it's not something mysterious. It's all written in the book, the King James Bible. It's all in there. It's all in there on how to follow Jesus. First thing is to familiarize yourself with his word. The next thing is to turn out and worship and praise him. There's so many things that are going on in the world, but once I read this first sing a few songs and listen to and say a few prayers and read a few verses of scripture here, regardless of what's going on in my life, I am in the groove and I am ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My mind is fixed on him and nothing else bothers me and will bother me until I get finished. God can help you live like that. And that doesn't mean to live life ignorantly. That means to live life choosing the things to dwell upon. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said in his letter to the church at Philippi, he says, Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, true, honest, just, pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, or if there is any praise, think on those things. Don't give airtime to bad thoughts. Think on good thoughts. And that is why I keep beating on about memorizing verses of scripture. Because if you have a couple of verses of scripture up in your head, you can be doing anything. Hopefully not working with hazardous machinery or with hazardous materials. Paying attention to what you're doing. But whenever the world, the flesh, and the devil tries to drag your attention onto some immorality or profanity or violence or whatever it is, you can think of a few Bible verses. Like in Proverbs, a strange woman is like a deep ditch. And likewise to young girls, a strange man is like a deep ditch. And it will drag people away and they'll be stuck and their life and their youth will be given to another other than God. Whenever you're tempted to go away drinking, just remember Proverbs 20 and 1. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And another one is in Proverbs 2, is who is wounds without a cause, who is babbling? And there's a couple of other things that drunk people pick up, but the Bible says, they that tarry long at the wine, when it moveth itself aright. Talks about looking at strange women whenever people are drinking. When you have those things in your head, the Holy Spirit will remind you of them just when you need them, and will deliver you, and will help you. And that is the way in which you can follow God day by day. He will help you. There's something about this life, you know. Regardless of who we are, we all want it to work out right. We want to do it right. We want to be remembered, hopefully fondly, although there, as I've heard a few people say, some people just want to watch the world burn. But we want to know that everything we did amounted to something whenever our lives are over. And the Lord gives us the recipe for this. He says it's simple. Get saved. Follow me. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. In other words, doing what he asks us to do. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your position in life, regardless of your education, your age, color of your skin, the language you speak, regardless of your sex, whether you're man or woman, and there are only two, regardless of what this world would like to say, that applies to everyone. If you want things to work out for the best, get saved and follow me. That's what Jesus said. And here's another wee thing. If anyone recall to mind the time that Peter denied the Lord three times, the world, the flesh, and the devil put him on the top spot when he went to watch the trial of Jesus. And he denied him three times. And when the Lord was resurrected, and whenever he was spending his 40 days on the world, proving to all of those that saw him give up the ghost and then be stabbed through the heart to make sure he was dead, the Lord met Peter and his brethren by the seashore. And he forgave them the three times. And shortly after that, Peter saw John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is he? Which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what will this man do? And Jesus saith to him, if I will that he tarry until I come, what's that to you? Follow thou me. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. You may have to obey, we'll call them orders in work, just like you would in the army. If you're being paid by somebody to do work, you have to do things the way they want it. You have to follow their instruction. And as long as it's not in some crazy, and if you have this career path, as long as you're not working in prostitution or drug running or selling alcohol, well, there's really no job that's incompatible with the Christian life. You'll know yourself. Maybe working in the holy shop, that might be incompatible with Christian life. But you know what I mean. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. God never said to anybody else, you listen to that person and they will tell you what to do with their lives. God said, follow me. And that is where a lot of governments and businesses and religions like Catholicism, Protestantism, Buddhism, Mormonism, Islam, and you can go through all the isms and this, that, and the others, and even a lot of Baptist churches. That's where a lot of them fall down. Because as well as this good old book, they have their own little books. And they say that in order to be a good, in quotes, Roman Catholic Christian, or Protestant Christian, or Baptist Christian, you have to follow these bylaws or these little books. And then you'll be accepted. And you'll have a better class of heaven and a better class of life. But Jesus never said that. And it was the same sort of people back in the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, whom Jesus said, you have made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions, by your little books. Jesus said, follow me. And it's an interesting thing that even the faith of Islam counts Jesus Christ as a prophet, but still doesn't follow. Still doesn't listen to a single thing that he says. So regardless of what the government says, or some corporation, or some church, or even what your feelings say, because our feelings are like an unbroken stallion. Regardless of what your mates say, or even your wife or your husband says, if they say something that's contrary to the Bible, they're wrong. And that's just the long and short of it. If it goes against what the Bible says, it's wrong. And sin is still sin because Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And technically, you know, we haven't changed. We still are the same creature regardless of the gadgets we have in our pockets or the technical fabrics we wear. We're still the same creature that walked and talked with Jesus in Galilee and Nazareth and in Bethlehem back in the day. And sin is still sin. Blasphemy is still sin. Profanity, still sin. Dishonoring your mother and father, still sin. Stealing, still sin. Adultery is still sin. Idolatry is still sin. Not turning up at church is still a sin. The Bible says so. The last couple of years have shown us anything. It has shown us that these organizations and these faiths are more than happy to chuck us away like a piece of gum with all the flavor chewed out of it. You want, if you want, and it is down to you, if you want recipe for success and peace of mind, a sure and certain eternity, that's a job of work for me to do, those wee birdies up on that soffit. And you want all of the promises that God has sealed in that book for those that love him. Remember those two words that Jesus said to all those that followed him. Follow me. Follow me. It's up to you to get off your haunches and chase down Jesus Christ's plan for your life. You'll find it in there. When you mix that word with your heart, miracles will happen. Thank you very much. God bless. Amen. Has anybody got a suggestion for a closing hymn? Anybody got one?
21.
Pardon?
21.
In that book?
22.
21 in the wee book. Thank you, Norman. Love that. That's one I was actually looking at this evening, too. Number 21, love that will not let me go. Let's stand as we sing. In the wee black books, number 21.
Thank you.
verse. Thank you for the suggestions. Thank you for your other hymns and whatnot. For the Bible readings today, you've made the service what it was, and I hope it was a help to you. God bless you. Let's close your eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for this gathering together. I pray your good hand upon us as we go home. Lord, you know all the thoughts of our hearts and the desires of our hearts and our deepest needs. And I pray, Lord, that you would supply them. We love you and praise you. And we leave our private prayer requests at your feet. And we know, Lord, that with your good hand upon them, well, the mountains will be moved. Lord, please see us safely home and please see us back at the next appointed time. And we ask all this, Lord, and especially for absent friends, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit.